Monday! Open wide dev fans! Get ready to stuff your face with JavaScript, CSS, Node Modules, barbecue tips, Git workflows, breakdancing, soft skills, web development, the hastiest, the craziest, the tastiest web development treats. Coming in hot, here is Wes, Barracuda, Boss, and Scott, El Toro Loco, Tolinsky.
Welcome to Syntex. On this Monday hasty treat, we're going to be talking about our CSS wish list. Man, CSS has gotten so many amazing things lately, and it's continuing to get amazing things. But in this episode, we're going to be talking about things, whether they are, actually coming or maybe coming or not coming, just things that we would love to see in our beloved CSS. My name is Scott Tolinsky. I'm a developer. I live in Denver. It's currently mega snowing out here right now, and I am bundled up. Wes. Wes Boss is with me as always. Wes, how are you today? What's going on, man?
I'm doing great. We got a little bit of snow yesterday, which is good because my daughter is getting into like skateboarding, and which is really cool. Like, I'm stoked that one of my kids is actually into skateboarding, and like it's been too wet to skateboard on and off here there as the snow melts and it snows again and that whole dance. So we got a snow skate, which is something I had when I was a kid. And man, is that fun. Like, I'm not a snowboarder or a skier or anything like that, but I hopped on that snow skate again. And I was like, this is super fun. Like, I can't believe I sold mine many years ago.
You know what? I would love to get a snow skate. That sounds like a really fun thing to just kick around, you know. Easy to kick around at the house. I remember a friend having one. You'd hit jumps. And since we were all skaters, we had our own PVC rails and stuff that
pipes.
We had made.
Yeah.
Pipes, little. Yeah. What you would do is, for those of you who don't know, you go to Home Depot, you'd buy a PVC pipe, you'd buy a couple 2x4s, you put some little feet on there, you got yourself a grind rail until you broke it. And so, things worked really well in the snow.
I love that. I had some pipe or bed rail or something, and I would just like put it in the snow and just like lift, like I put a brick or a 2x4 under it, just like really low. But like, you felt so cool when you, like, for anyone listening, a snow skate is essentially a kind of like a larger skateboard or a mini snowboard, and you just kind of stand on it and go. And there's like this whole, me and my daughter went down a YouTube rabbit hole of like professional snow skaters, and like people like do like they don't just go down hills. They do stairs and they can like ollie up on it. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, I know. They're really cool. Yeah. Okay. Well, snow skate hour is over. Let's talk about CSS stuff. One thing I would really love in CSS is mixins. You remember mixins from?
Oh yeah.
Sass, Stylus, any of those CSS preprocessors. Mixins basically is almost like a function that allows you to encapsulate other CSS into a reusable thing. And some people didn't even love mixins within those systems. But me personally, I think mixins have a place and they could be really handy in CSS and would be a really nice accompaniment to our CSS variable world.
It's true. Like, if you could put multiple styles inside of a variable, and we should say that we're just dreaming here. A lot of the stuff we'll talk about is probably or maybe not a good idea, and there's probably a reason why we don't have it. And that's what the whole process of bringing it to the browsers and having community feedback and whatnot. But we're just dreaming here, you know. Like, this is maybe not stuff that should or shouldn't come. But yeah, like if you could put multiple color black, display flex, justify content center, place item center. You know, like you could just like put the like, oh, I use this all the time in my app. You bloop, bloop. But then like people say, oh, like why not just put a class on it and then or just like put multiple classes on your thing. So it's kind of interesting. I use mixins a lot during Sass, but then it kind of bit me because I had like so much duplicated CSS. Mm-hmm. And then when I wanted to like change something, I guess you could just change the mixin. I kind of got away from me, and I don't think I had a really good like approach to styling that type of stuff. So I'd be curious to see if it ever does come to CSS.
I think there's nuance, and like mixins the reason why they might not be here right now is maybe potentially there is foot guns and there is potential for overuse and reuse and things like that. But I do think there are some interesting use cases, and maybe we can work on talking about what those are at some other time, because we got a lot of stuff to get to in this one.
Next one we have here is a range selector. So the other day I was working on, I've been working on some CSS grid animation examples.
Nice.
Just because like, A couple episodes ago, Scott told me CSS Grid, you can animate it now. I was like, what? So I'm going to be updating my CSS Grid course. And I was just playing with it. And I needed to select like the items in the first row, the second row, and the third row. And that's one of my other, I'll talk about that in a second. But essentially, I want to select 1 through 3, and then 3 through 6, and then 7 through 9, or 4 through 6. And in order to do that, you can, it's actually a pretty clean hack you can do with nth child doubled up, where you say like 1n+3, and that will give you 4 forward. But then you can tack on another one, which is 1n-7, and that will give you 7 back. And it has to meet both of those criteria. But I was like, well, like if we can, we are going to already do this, wouldn't it be nice just to have a simple syntax of like, range 3, 6, and you get everything 3 through 6.
No, I hear you. That would be a lot of fun. You know what? And also right there with you with that, I know we can, maybe we should move into that other one that you were talking about, because I think it pairs nicely with this, but like being able to select more things, within a CSS grid would be awesome, right? Because oftentimes if you're thinking like, let me put a border bottom on the first row or the second row or something like that, right? You can't select a row specifically, and you can't necessarily determine how many items are in a row, because if you have a responsive grid that's changing all the time, you couldn't accurately to say, okay, give me maybe an after, give me a CSS after on the first 3 items here, because then when the grid shifts to maybe 2 items or 4 items or whatever, the grid changes, then that messes up your whole business. You have to write a lot of custom CSS. It's not like it's not doable, but there are definitely like certain use cases where it'd be really nice to be able to select, here's the first row or the second row or whatever. You could do, you know, the zebra striping on rows like you did in table data or things like that, just by being able to say, give me column number 2 or row number 2, something like that.
Yeah, I actually, I'm looking at a GitHub issue from 2017 where I asked in the CSS working group, like, can this happen? And
look at you.
I put a little, I forgot that I wrote this, but I wrote something with Resize Observer that will do that. Essentially, what you can do is you loop over every single grid item and you check for the top left-hand corner of the grid item. And if the top left-hand XY coordinates are greater than the item before it, that means you probably wrapped onto the next line and you started a new row or a new column. Mm-hmm. And then you can use JavaScript to apply CSS like classes to it that just say like row 1, row 2, row 3, et cetera. But like I had two good examples here, which is like, I want to be able to style elements that have wrapped onto the next line. Like my navigation on westboss.com does this, and I had to write a whole bunch of intersection observer code around it. Or just very simple tiger striping rows and columns. It would be really nice to be able to apply it.
You call it tiger striping? I've always called it zebra striping. That's fun.
Yeah. Why would I call it tiger striping? That's probably wrong. I'm one of those guys that calls everything like the wrong name. So that's probably
the slightly wrong thing.
Yeah, but like tigers are striped, aren't they?
No, absolutely. That's why I mean, I wasn't putting it down. I've just always heard it as zebra striping. And you know what? Tiger striping is a little bit more fierce, and I'm here for that. You know what? There's some really interesting things in this GitHub issue, Wes. I don't know if you've seen, like, some person says, like, in addition to nth row and nth column, it would be really nice to have nth row focus within. And then they have, like a timeline kind of thing or focus column within. So that way you could do like vertical striping or horizontal striping. That's not just like based on the row. That's actually really cool. That's a cool idea.
Oh yeah. Yeah, you're right. That would be super handy. Another thing with CSS grid is being able to select the grid items that are the first of column or last of column or first of row and last of row. So I ran into this the other day. I was building something along with the animation thing where when you hover over top of a grid item, I'm increasing the size of it. So I'm making it taller and wider. And what that does is it animates the both the grid row and the grid column. But one of the issues I hit in is I also am using scale just a little bit so that it kind of overlaps all of its siblings just a little bit and kind of puts a border behind it. It's kind of a cool effect. But one thing I have to do is every corner, top right, bottom right, top left, bottom left, when you scale it up, I don't want to scale it up from the middle because then that spills out over the container on the bottom left-hand corner. So what I would like to do is to anchor it to the bottom left, top right, you know, like when you do the animation, scale out from the thing so you don't spill out. And you can do that with transform, but selecting the individual grid items is a bit of a pain. You can do it with nth child, assuming there are 3x3 grid, but then like Scott says, as soon as you hit responsive, then you got to change
it,
right?
You're writing a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, you're writing a lot of CSS, and it would be so nice. And people are like, well, just add a class. If it's like, you at the time of writing the class, you don't know how big the thing is, right? You can't simply just apply corner class to something because the container is responsive. And of course, you could write a resize observer, but that's a ton of JavaScript code where it could just be a pseudo selector in CSS.
Yeah, I agree. There's a, you know, a lot of these things do have like working solutions that could, you know, solve these problems with JavaScript. But at the end of the day, it'd be great to have some of these things in CSS. And as you were saying that, I just added a new one to the list that I can just say really quickly. It'd be super duper nice to have a really easy CSS fit text, you know, just to say, hey, this font size fit inside of this container. Just fit, please, into the container. That's just something fit. That like... Yeah, it, you know, I wrote my own and we talked about that before, but like it wasn't a ton of fun. And it's hard to optimize those types of things where you're getting into algorithms and whatever. And it, even then, if you have like 8 or 10 items that you all want to resize, like a bunch of cards, for instance, you have a series of cards on a page like we do, you know, that's a lot of JavaScript running.
You can get it pretty close with container queries. With the CQW, but it's not perfect because you just have to eyeball it and say, all right, that looks close enough. And like you end up with like this arbitrary value, like 14 CQWs.
You want to know another little hack too? Here's a little fun little hack that I wrote once. Actually, we're using this on the Level Up site. Just do a character count straight up. And then based on the character count, you put the text into bucket sizes to say like, this is small, medium, large, and then just apply a size to that and just make sure those sizes fit no matter the largest size within that character count. So there's certainly ways to do it without the fit text style where you're bumping up the font size and waiting till it overflows its container. But yeah, certainly something that could be easier and much more fun with CSS.
Totally. In CSS, there is the CH unit, which is the character height of an O or something like that. Or there's a character thing, but it doesn't work great because most fonts aren't monospaced. Most fonts are variable. So come on. The browser, just give us fit text.
Yeah, right? It's something that we've been needing to do for a long time. Next is, in my mind, this is something that I need all the time. So you have a horizontal or vertical scrolling area, right? And you put overflow scroll on that bad boy. The next problem comes is when you need to do anything that involves something that would overflow that container. And the one example that hits me the most is box shadow. So, for instance, we have a horizontal scrolling area of cards. You scroll horizontally, this scrolling area of cards. But we have a big old box shadow on those cards because I love a big old box shadow. And then what happens is the overflow hidden that you need on the Y coordinate of that, well, that cuts off your shadow. So the solution becomes, and now I got to put 100 padding top and bottom on this thing. Maybe I'm getting into negative margins. Maybe I'm getting into position absolute. Whatever you're doing, you now have this like workaround where you have this thing that has to account for some extra additions to this thing, whether that is box shadow or maybe it's a background image or some additional flourish or something like that. You know, it's hit me even with icons in a vertical scrolling area for a playlist or something like that. So I would love to be able to tell something to escape the overflow somehow, or just be able to do overflow scroll with overflow visible as well, because heck, those seems pretty useful to me.
Yeah, yeah, that would be super handy to be able to scroll and overflow. Or like, do you think like it would just be overflow X, overflow Y, yes or no? Or do you think it would be like overflow allow box shadow? You could give it properties that are allowed to spill out.
Either, honestly, whatever.
Either one.
Either one. One of those sounds like easier, right? The overflow just saying, hey, make this visible for the other coordinate, yeah, or whatever. But the escapable one gives you more access and more control. I mean, either or, just being able to do that technique is something that I find myself needing to do all the time.
Totally. Next one we have here is full support for CSS with inline styles. There was a really good tweet the other day. I forget who it was, but they basically said Tailwind is a RFP or RFQ for the web, meaning that inline styles, you can't do all of CSS in it. You can't do hover styles. You can't do media queries. You can't do container queries. There's a whole subset of visited, active, all of that stuff. You can't do that with an inline style. And like, wouldn't it be nice to be able to write full CSS as an inline style?
No,
maybe.
I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I mean, I don't want it. I don't need to. But
Other one we have here is nth of found. So we got nth child, which is like, give me of this container, give me the fourth thing, or give me every other thing, give me the even or the odd. And that was great. And then everyone said, oh, but when I add, like, let's say you have a list of six cards and you want to grab the even ones, it works great until you add like a H2 above those cards. And then all of a sudden you've messed up your nth child because the H2 is an element as well. So then you have to put another wrapper in, and that's annoying. So then we got nth of type, which is like, okay, well, give me only the nth divs or the nth ones with this class, you know? And actually, no, it's not classes. It's just type. Is that right? Let me look it up. And I haven't looked it up in a while.
I know it's funny because there's so many things that you don't look up until right before you need them.
Yeah. It's not CSS specific, or sorry, it's not class specific. It's only like divs. So if you have like a bunch of divs and you have an H2, it will only give you the divs.
Yeah. Same type of tag name.
Yeah. Tag name.
So yeah. That's interesting.
I would like both nth of selected and then also nth of found, meaning that like I want to, regardless of where they are, they don't have to be in the same parent. They could be just select all the things with the class of special on the page. Now that you got them, give me the third through sixth one. And it doesn't have to be like, because a lot of times people are like, why isn't my nth child working? Like you look on Stack Overflow and it's always, well, they're not in the same parent container and therefore it's not possible. So just like you would in Document Query Selector, wouldn't it be nice to be able to just globally find something and then nth of it from there out?
Yeah. Here's one that I really want. I really want color functions now. Like I know they're coming. Let's check the can I use CSS color functions are definitely something that we'll be getting at some point. But let me just say, being able to modify color is the one thing that I'm truly missing in my design system work, because right now I'm defining every single color as a hex value, whether it's shades or tints or whatever. I'm defining those all as hex values, which is totally fine when you have one theme in one site. But let's say I want a fully themable site and I only want to do it by setting like five CSS variables instead of setting 20, 25, or however many shades and tints I have, right? It's hard to do that right now without color functions, because if you get color functions, then you can have your base colors. And then let's say you have a line, like a line mm-hmm. on a yellow, and that line ends up being just a slightly darker yellow. Or typically, the way you might do this is with a black with an opacity on it, right? That's a nice, easy fix for that. But if you then go to a white theme or a light theme where things change, some of those things get really messy really quickly, where all of a sudden you're inversing your color palette, or maybe you're making bigger changes to your color palette. And those rules that you want to have in there, that they don't scale super well into like fully transformative ways. So color functions are definitely something that I would really love to have. Let's see, the CSS color function allows to display in any color space. That's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for like...
The color function will also allow you to do things like tint, saturate, because what you can do is you can take a color, be it a hex or RGB or anything, and then you parse it into RGB or HSL or whatever, and then you can put it together. You get three variables, H, S, and L, and then you can calc those. You calc the H by 0.2. And I don't think we're ever going to get darken, lighten functions, which I don't, that's not in the proposal. We did a whole show on it.
I know, but the HSL color, remember there was, we did a whole show on it, and the HSL color, what do they call it?
Color space?
The color space is not good. So like telling it to do a lightness using HSL is not going to give you the desired results.
Well, that we're going to get lab and LCH as well. And those are much more better supported than this color function.
Yeah. What I'm looking for is like transformation. That's what I'm looking for. Whether or not it's coming or not, that's what I want.
Because you can do it though. Like you, to be clear, you know, you can do it with the color function, but it's just.
Correct.
More work because you have to calc them and stuff. Like it would be nice to just give me stylus, light and darken, transparency, opacity functions.
What I would like, yeah, define everything in hex and then say, or OK Lab or whatever. But let's say define everything in hex. And then say lightness and then have it use whatever color system you want, whether that is OK Lab to transform it. There's a lot of systems that do this right now in JavaScript, nice and easy. Really nice.
No,
it would just be
that's
nice
what
to
it's
going to
be.
CSS.
You can pass LCH a hex, and out the other end you get the L, C, and H values, and you can do whatever you please with those values, be it jack them up, bring them down, add opacity. So it is coming.
Interesting. Okay, I think in an ideal world, I would just like a lightness function.
Me too. CSS. Honestly,
yeah.
Give it to me, and maybe that's another thing. Can we have functions in CSS? You know, can we make our own?
Yeah. Yes, please. Yes, please, ease.
Oh, yeah. This is one I ran into only when I started playing with container queries. And that is when we start playing with container queries, we're going to need some sort of resizable box in order to test these things, because you can't just resize your window because it's not based on the window anymore. So I think a lot of people are going to have like a cool dev tools thing would be like put jQuery UI resizer on divs and be able to drag and drop them because the built-in CSS resize both only works when you have overflow hidden or a scroll value on it. And that's annoying because if you have a container that does have overflow on it, then everything is hidden. So it would be kind of cool to have CSS resize, but not have to scroll or whatever. And it's totally doable in JavaScript. So can we just get it in CSS as well?
Yeah, that'd be cool just to have, like you said, just a container to resize. Or even, you know, it does seem like a good idea for a dev tool to just turn each div boundary into a little handle grabber. You can grab it, move it around like a Figma frame and have your stuff little just auto-adjust. That'd be really cool. Another thing I would really like is to be able to animate height auto. Because why yes. not, right? Just animate height auto. I know you can probably do it now with grid, but it would just be really easy to say, hey, CSS, transition this, but start at zero and go to whatever it is. And just work, please.
Next one I have here is full ATTR support. So right now, ATTR is basically what this means is you can grab the value of an HTML attribute and use it inside of a CSS selector. So right now, this only works with content, meaning that if you have a before or after pseudo element and you want to put text or something in there, you can use that. And I always think, like, wouldn't it be cool to be able to grab the value of like an input like form element, or grab like literally any data attribute off of a div that's being piped in via React, and then use those data directly inside of your selector. And like you can do that kind of with inline styles, or it's a lot easier now that we have CSS variables, because what you can do is you can just set variables on the element inline, and then you can use those variables in your actual CSS file. I don't think that will ever happen, but it's kind of a dream there.
Yeah, total dream.
What else do we have here? I asked on Twitter what people's dreams were. We got one from 3.1, which is Sunil Pai. He worked at Cloudflare for a while, and I think he's now full-time working on Vite. So he put together kind of just like not a proposal, but just a bunch of ideas on, he calls it, what did he call it? CSS references. Basically, CSS in JS, but like firsthand, being able to import specific CSS from a CSS file right from JavaScript.
Hey, you know what that is?
So he just has all what?
It's basically mixins. I mean, some of this is mixins, right? He has extends XYZ or whatever. This is like what I want. This is totally what I want. Yeah. I'm right here. I'm right here with him on this one. It looks awesome. And then I like the idea of like being able to import specific mixins from specific files and do stuff like that. And heck, it would be really great. I know CSS imports aren't super recommended. But it'd be cool to have like a performant or like a CSS import way that is native that you could actually be recommended to use too. In addition to this.
Oh yeah. Like let's say you had like a mix in for Level Up Purple. And like it did like four or five things on a link, and you could just import that from your like utils.css. And then apply it or extend it onto something that's in your current one. Yeah, that would be really cool. It's true, because we don't really have like an import. We have import in CSS, but just brings everything in, right? Like what if we had a whole module system in CSS like we do in JavaScript ESM?
Yeah, CSS modules. There's a proposal for it.
Yeah. Next one we have here is, this one's from Gilboa Shy on Twitter. He says, overflown to style elements when there is an overflow. That's kind of cool. Like when the element has an overflow. I like the name overflown.
yeah.
And then colon stuck to style elements when position sticky has reached the edge. That's actually something I've bumped into as well. And a lot of these
totally.
Things, I think we don't have them because you run into circular re-renders. And this is a problem with CSS Grid initially that they had to spend a lot of time to fix, is that like...
And container queries, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like what happens if you size... I have this with my navigation on my website. What happens when something needs to wrap because it's too big? So you wrap it, but then you make it smaller. So now it's small enough to fit back on the main line. So then it goes back on the main line and goes big, but then it's too big. So it wraps onto the next line and then goes small, and then it's small enough to fit. So it goes back. And I basically had to like write a variable that says count number of times re-rendered equals zero. And then if it's two, just give up.
Just stop, please. Yeah, I know I had to do something really similar with my fit text solution, right? Because you think about it, especially if you have it inside of a resize observer. So sure, I want my text to fit itself on initial page load. But if somebody moves the browser window, I also want the text to resize. The problem with that is you're using resize observer. And when the text reflows, that can often sometimes trigger the resize observer, causing the text to resize again. And then, next thing you know, you got yourself an infinite loop.
I have a couple under here that maybe not a good idea. All of these maybe are not a good idea, but these ones are definitely maybe not a good idea. multi-line selectors. So I wrote a selector the other day that had an is. Like I was selecting a grid where the grid item is currently a specific nth child range and is being hovered or focused. So if you think about that, that's the grid has a child that is item 4 through 6 and is currently being hovered or is currently being focused. So like that's a totally valid selector. I tweeted it out. A lot of people got mad at it. They're like, this was unmaintainable. And I was like, it was mostly a joke, but also like, how else would you do that? You know, like show me another way to do it and I'll do that. I'll do it that way. But that's how you do it. These selectors are getting complex because CSS is getting more complex and you have nested is and has and where and whatnot. So I tried to format it on multiple lines to make it more readable. And it ended up looking like a MySQL statement. I was like, this is actually kind of nice, but it doesn't work because as soon as you put something on the next line, it puts a space in between it. And then it changes it from a pseudo selector to a parent child selector. So I was trying to figure out like, how do you do multi-line? Like how do you get white space in CSS selectors? You can't.
It is kind of funny. I never thought about CSS as being like a query language, but it really is, right? You're just looking, you're writing a series of selectors to select something, but instead of from a database, it's from the page. That's very similar, right? Yeah. You have here in here container queries where you select the container itself not being a, maybe not a good idea. I'm curious about why you think this might not be a good idea because I haven't thought about this too much, but
I asked it on Twitter, like, why is this not possible? So the idea with container queries is you grab a div and that's your container. You name it container and then you say when this container hits a certain width or height or any of the things that you can query about a container query, you say if like let's say at 400 pixels you want to change the background from black to blue. You can't do that with a container query. Because there's no way, at least right now, there's no way to select the actual container itself. You can only select the children that are inside of it. So if that's the case, you have to put like a div inside of the container. You can't select the container itself. There's probably a reason for it. I asked on Twitter and no one seemed to know. It's probably one of those circular re-render things that we were talking about earlier. And it's not a big deal to throw an extra div in there. Maybe that will be a thing that comes out of container queries where people say like, don't style the container. It's just, it's a fluid being. Style the things around it and inside it. I don't know that. I don't have best practices for that yet.
Yeah. Maybe that's the vibe. The vibe is that the container should be acting as this ethereal container.
Elastic
and not
bend,
anything
band,
substantial. Yeah,
yeah,
totally.
And then is scrolled, that kind of goes back to the overflown. And that's all I have here.
Yeah, that would be good. Especially like, you know, you think about those interfaces where if you start scrolling, you know, perhaps the top overflow or the bottom overflow needs to have a shadow to indicate that there's more. You know, we've often done this with a gradient and then a mask on the, or have a gradient as the image mask for that type of thing. Like that would be really nice to be able to indicate, hey, this thing is scrolling. These are the type of things that you get in, native development. So I don't know. Feels like we should have stuff like that.
Yeah. Can you use a CSS gradient as a mask?
Yeah, buddy.
CSS gradient or like an image gradient?
Bro, head on over to levelup.video on the homepage.
Oh my gosh. Let's take this look.
I even have a video on it if you want to learn how to do it.
I do. Honestly, I was thinking about this the other day. I didn't even know. I always thought that I have masks on a bunch of my websites. And I've always used SVG. And I was talking about how I was like, oh, I would love to use I have like a grit.png on my website. And I was like, I want to use that as my mask. And someone's like, then use it. I was like, use images as masks? So now I'm here finding out you can use
gradients. It's an image.
Gradients? Hey. So where are you using it?
Latest drop. So scroll down past the browse the library. The next one is latest drop. Look at that. Yep. We got a little playlist and we have a gradient mask gradienting out into nothing. And this works on any theme on the site. So whether or not this is light or background, you change the background, it always works.
I would have thought you just had like a purple gradient and then you're doing, so you're literally chopping it out. That's beautiful.
It's beautiful, right? Yeah. Check it out. Just view that source. I'll share a video. I made sure on how to do it. It's nice.
That's
when I found out I could do that, I was so satisfied. I was like, this feels like something that I didn't know you could do that is really just brilliant. So yeah, shout out to being able to use masks.
This is why I love this podcast. I just keep finding out things that I should have probably known 10 years ago. That's amazing.
Likewise. Hey, I used a lot of that TypeScript stuff like the moment that we finished recording that episode. So Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that's good. I actually found another use case for Satisfies the other day as well in my own, refactoring my own course platform, and it worked great.
I have tried to use Satisfies twice, and they have not been the right solution.
Wasn't it? Didn't satisfy you?
Maybe this is the time. Yeah, it did not. I was not satisfied, but it's definitely my fault. I goofed.
All right. That's it for today. Thank you for tuning in. And tweet us your CSS wish list at SyntaxFM, and we'll catch you later.
Peace.
Peace.
Head on over to syntax.fm for a full archive of all of our shows. And don't forget to subscribe in your podcast player or drop a review if you like this show.